Hello and welcome to Brokenomics. Now, as you know, in this show, we often talk about the broken financial system, geopolitics, stuff like that. But I think I've explained that the reason I got into all of this in the first place is because I was so offended by what happened over the lockdown period. And that's the massive amount of money printing, which, of course, I'm known for talking about on that and the downstream effects of that. But what really offended me was the lockdowns themselves and the vaccine coercion that came along with that. And it's something that's quite difficult to talk about because you get heavily censored if you do it and you can't put stuff out on certain platforms. However, I've got a couple of guests with me here today. We've got John Watt and Adam Rowland, who had, while we're still on YouTube, let's just say they had an experience with the rollout of the certain medical product that happened a few years ago. And these two chaps actually confronted Rishi Sunak in a GB event. So let's quickly watch that now.
Hi, Rishi Sunak. I've got so much to say, but such little time. My name is John Watt, and I'm one of the COVID vaccine injured in this country. I want you to look into my eyes, Rishi Sunak, and I want you to look at the pain, the trauma, and the regret I have in my eyes. We have been left with no help at all. Not only am I in here that's vaccine injured, there's another man over there whose life's been ruined by that COVID-19 vaccine. I know people who have lost legs, amputations. I know people with heart conditions like myself, Rishi Sunak. Why have I had to set up a support group in Scotland to look after the people that have been affected by that COVID-19 vaccine? Why are the people who are in charge, who told us all to do the right thing, have left us all to rot and left me and the thousands and the tens of thousands in this country to rot? Rishi Sunak, look me in the eye. When are you going to start to do the right thing? The vaccine damage payment scheme is not fit for purpose. In Scotland right now, according to the yellow card system, there are over 30,000 people that have had an adverse reaction to that vaccine and 200 deaths.
John, thank you very much indeed for your question.
It's time for you to start doing the right thing, Mr. Rishi Sunak, and the rest.
You've made a really strong point, John. Prime Minister.
Yeah, John, well, I'm very sorry to hear about your personal circumstances, and you said someone over here also seems to have suffered by a similar thing. Now, obviously, I don't know about the individual situation that you're in.
Silence, and Rishi. We're silenced on social media and everything.
Okay.
We are silenced. We are the most silenced people in this country.
We're silenced in the press because my story in the press.
Okay.
I had to go to the government for comment, and they made
And
sir, you raised some very valid points, I'm sure. What I've got to say is, though, we haven't got you on microphone, and as you know, we've got to get through this. I'm sure we can raise your points with the Prime Minister at a later date. But in the meantime, Prime Minister,
I'm very happy to. So look, there is a vaccine compensation scheme that's in place, as you alluded to, in the NHS. Obviously, everyone individually will work through their cases. It's difficult for me to comment on anyone's individual case. I'm sure you'll appreciate that. I'm very happy to go and look at the cases, and I'm sure you'll get them to the team here. I mean, I'm very saddened and shocked to hear that you've been silenced by anybody. That is surprising to me. So please do get your details to Stephen and the team, and I will happily take that away. Of course, you should be able to speak about your experience, what's happened to you. And as I said, we have a compensation scheme in place for that, and I'll make sure that we're working through that. Obviously, I think you'll appreciate it's hard for me to comment on your specific circumstances, just not knowing them, and those things are...
So our viewers and listeners won't be able to.
I think the last thing I'd say is, we went through a pandemic like everyone else. At the points when it came to the vaccine, those decisions were always taken on the basis of medical advice from our medical experts to tell us as politicians, who are obviously not doctors, about how best to roll out the vaccine, what was in the public health interest, the priority order, how that should be done, who should be eligible. That was something that the doctors recommended on, and that's something that we followed. Now, obviously, if there are individual circumstances which haven't worked out, then that's why we have the compensation scheme in place, and I'll make sure that we follow up on your cases.
Okay, Prime Minister, thank you. Gents, both of you, do give us your details. We will get that to the Prime Minister, and as he said, he will, I'm sure, look at that for you.
So you can see from that that Rishi Sunak was really not expecting that question. So, I mean, guys, how did that happen? How did you end up speaking to the Prime Minister?
I can't, like I said to you in the live show, can't go into it too much because...
Like but there's a little bit of subterfuge, was there?
Yeah, there was a lot of trickery involved and, you know, just going under the radar.
Because looking at his face, he did not expect that question to arrive.
They knew all the questions on the night, but they didn't expect that question.
Yeah.
let's be honest, if they knew that question, do you think they would have allowed myself to be on there?
Yeah.
So, like I said, we've done an event in Glasgow and we're hoping to do one in London to raise awareness on this, and hopefully people who think they might be injured, you know, we bring along professionals and doctors and stuff, and hopefully I've done one in Glasgow, really successful, and I'm looking at a venue in London now, and hopefully we can try and sell it out and bring professionals, and I would love anyone who's actually willing to debate it out to come on the stage and actually debate it out with these professionals, you know, it would be interesting. But regarding that night, how we got on, I'll leave that for the show to tell everybody. So if you want to know, maybe buy a ticket if we get a
come
venue.
Come along to the live event, yeah.
Yeah, come along to the live event. I've already done it.
We couldn't believe our luck though, could we really, to be fair, that we got on?
No,
because we didn't take our social media down or anything.
Yeah, so we don't, like we don't want to talk about it too much, but... Yeah, it was, as you can tell by his face, he didn't know that question was going to be there. And, you know, I've had a lot of people say, oh, John, controlled opposition, all this kind of stuff. You know, he's a plant.
They say that about everyone.
Yeah, which is just ridiculous. You know, what people don't realise is, you know, I'm still ill, number one. We've seen an opportunity. Now, again, we kind of wish that if we knew there was a general election happening, we wish we'd done it in front of the BBC and ITV, but unfortunately...
We might not have got through there though. That's the problem. So you just got to take your chance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why I wanted to get you guys on now because this is pre-recorded, but it will be going out the week of the election, and I think it's worth people remembering what they did to us.
Yeah. I think it's a subject that can never go away because we can never allow it to happen again, and it's just so important. Like I say, look, the Jags is one thing. I call them the Jags because I'm Scottish. But, I mean, even the things during the COVID, and then you look into what they've done in care homes and you look at other protocols that were put in place. Now, I know, obviously, we speak about the Jags, but, I mean, I've seen some horrific stuff in the inquiry just now, which is in the public domain. And the COVID subject regarding COVID and the Jags, it's a subject that can't be
We got into your stories a bit on the podcast, and if you haven't seen that, go to the website and look at podcast. I think it's 944 where we had you guys on and you talked a bit about your story. But I mean, both of you were hospitalised, and both of you were gaslit by the medical professionals who told you that it was anxiety or it's something else.
Yeah, I think Adam, you got injured first, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I spent over 4 months in hospital, and since that time, I can't tell you how many hospital appointments I must have had. I've probably, you know, almost every week, some weeks I've got like 2 or 3 appointments. So I've been under, I last counted, I don't want to miscount, but I think I've had 22 or 26 scans since I've been injured. So I've had 1, 2, 3, 4 on my heart. So 4 MRIs in my heart, loads of echoes on my heart.
But this is only after they... stop gaslighting you that it actually was the vaccine?
Yes and no. So as I said on the podcast, so immediately, I didn't know after the first vaccine, you know, again, I just never even thought, you know, just didn't even add up again. I feel so
stupid. Propaganda
was
so strong that it was 100% safe and effective. So unless you completely reject the messaging.
Because it wasn't immediate. My reaction only started gradually after, I don't know what it was, 7 to 10 days or something. So I didn't immediately associate the two. And then it was only after the second one that I got immediate, like I was already prior to having what I now know as palpitations, but I didn't know what they were because I never had anything like that in my life. So it was only when I got the heart trouble, and then they got rushed me into hospital, and I said straight away, I've just had that vaccine. It's got to be that vaccine. It's that vaccine, isn't it? And I kept telling them that. And to be fair to him at the local hospital, because of the tests they were doing with the D-dimer looking for the blood clots, I think they were open-minded to it. But because I was such a weird case, because my heart was going in and out of VT and they couldn't find the cause, which we spoke about earlier about them having tests for...
But they were looking for blood clots. Is that what was causing your heart trouble?
No, it wasn't. So the cardiologist turned around to me. So they sent me to a specialist. Well, I paid privately to go and see a specialist electrocardiologist, one of the best in the country, because I was at that stage, I still thought, I'll be back at work in like a month. I'll just go and pay private and get back to work. You know, this is an inconvenience, as that was my mindset. He looked at my heart and expected me to be in myocarditis on the scan. And it was no myocarditis. And he turned around to me and went, you don't just develop VT in your heart. He said, it's normally a structural cause of your heart that causes that rhythm. And he said, you would have developed this as a kid, you know, if it was a congenital problem. He was bamboozled. And he said to me, he then referred me to an endocrinologist and thought they were testing me for adrenal tumours because that can cause rhythms with your heart. And that's when my story just got very complicated because I've had 20 odd scans. I've seen cardiologists, endocrinologists, neurologists, muscle disease specialists. There's probably more in there because I don't even tell them about half the symptoms now because it's like, yeah. What vaccine do people tell you?
What I find interesting about that is that you went in and initially they're looking for blood clots because that was the AstraZeneca thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That it was causing blood clots. And I know somebody who lost 30% of their lungs from blood clots, and you've both got a friend as well who lost an entire leg from blood clots.
Yeah.
So they were initially looking for that, but it turns out that these things are dangerous in actually multiple ways. And your thing had nothing to do with blood clots. It was...
Well, nothing for the first 12 months. I collapsed after 12 months of blood clots.
Ah, okay. So you got that as well in the end then. You got the full house.
But that was, so when I got the full house 12 months later, that was when... So I got rushed in, and all I remember is my nephew found me unconscious at home, and I got rushed in an ambulance, and I remember being left in a corridor, this was a Friday evening, I think, and I was left in a corridor for over 24 hours. I just remember them waking me up, and I know from my own training, I think they thought I'd had a stroke, because they were asking me to hold my arms up, and I couldn't hold my arms up. And then they transferred me through, and I was like... in like resus downstairs before they put you on a ward. And then they transferred me after 2 days to the cardiac ward and went, we remember you from last year when you were rushed in. And at this stage, I was getting like, I was really vocal. And I've actually since requested my medical notes from the hospital and they've written it in. So I was going on, they went, oh, we think it's anxiety. So I was like, don't give me this bullshit anymore. You know, I said, I've worked in America. I said, don't insult me anymore. Don't give me this bullshit. I said, it's not fucking anxiety. I said, it's that fucking vaccine. And they wouldn't engage me in that topic. And then they put me on a cardiac ward for 3 days. And I remember it because it was the Queen's, coming up to the Queen's Jubilee or whatever it was, the thing. So I couldn't get to see anyone. So anyway, they came around, they monitored my heart for 3 days and went, your heart's fine, we're sending you home. And I said, I'm in agony. You've seen what I'm like with my chest. Like I couldn't even like, I was barely could walk. And I went, you scan my chest. I said, you scan my chest or I'm going nowhere. So I've since requested my hospital notes, but in my notes, they wrote something and said, the person that assessed me said, we think this man's suffering from fictitious syndrome, which basically means I'm making it up. I'm a little bit crazy. And then further on in my notes, a couple of days later, it said this man was highly aggressive. And anyway, finally in my notes, they've only agreed to scan me because they thought that I was a bit crazy and anxious. And they've agreed to scan me. Well, they scanned me and I had 3 blood clots on my lungs. So I could well have died if I hadn't have insisted on that scan. And the guy...
Do the notes then say, oops, we fucked up?
No, the notes don't say that. And the guy that said to me, like, oh, we think it's anxiety... The consultant never came back to see me. He sent his little junior registrar and she went, oh, I'm really sorry to tell you, you've got 3 blood clots on your lungs. And then they moved me from the cardiac to the respiratory. They couldn't get rid of me quick enough.
It's like a pulmonary embolism.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is very common for young people that are having these pulmonary embolisms, you know.
So and people can, let's like be quite frank here, people can drop down and die from them. So, you know.
And they have, yeah.
And they have, so it's important that it's recognised.
And you guys are now part of a couple of groups. In fact, why don't you tell us about those groups? Because I know there's an English group and a Scottish group, and then tell us about some of the other experiences, because you must have met a lot of people through that.
Yeah.
I'll let John talk about the Scottish group first, because that's how I found the English group through John and Alex.
Do you want me to touch on my story quite
Yeah, please do. Yeah, please
so
do.
Just, I was looking at my notes there, because it's hard to keep up with all this. So technically, I mean, I've spoken about it in other podcasts. Let's say Dr. John Campbell's got a very in-depth one. You know,
have you been on his show?
Yeah, me and Adam have both been on his show. Like I say, Dr. John Campbell was at the event in Glasgow on the stage with Dr. Asim Malhotra and Dr. Tina Peers and Neil Hanvey MP, the only MP that I actually trust right now. Just to tell people, if you haven't seen the live live show that we just done, I don't wear the glasses to look cool. It's because I've got neurological issues and, you know, I get dizzy and that. So a lot of people think I use it as an ego thing or something, but like I said, I've spoke about my story and what happened to me in depth on other podcasts, and they're there. I was technically in the vulnerable category, so technically I was one of these people that was supposed to take it first. And the reason I tell people I was in the vulnerable category is because someone like me should never have touched the thing, and that's been now proven. So now when they said, everyone, if you're in the vulnerable category, you should be the one to take this. I took the first and second one, didn't really have a reaction. When I look back, actually, after the second one, the second AstraZeneca, so I had one AstraZeneca and then I had the second AstraZeneca, but it was a Pfizer booster that put me in the position I'm in now. When I look back at the second AstraZeneca one, I remember being out, I think I was in London actually, and it was like maybe a month or two after the second one, I had this episode in a shopping centre, and I felt like I was passing out. I felt like I was going to not be here. But I didn't really put it down to a jag. You know, I didn't put it down to a vaccine or anything like that. But anyway, so that was 2 months after. And then eventually the paperwork comes through for the Pfizer, the booster one. Now, the honest answer is I didn't want it. I was sceptical. I was a bit, you know, there's something not adding up. First one, second one. I said, when does it stop, you know? But as a fam, we've got family in South Africa. So in order to get to South Africa, at the time, the Omicron variant had came over. So they were remember the vaccine passports came into play, they were telling you. And we had family over there, so the families had new babies, newborn babies. None of us got to see the babies, and we usually go to South Africa every year. So it was an argument amongst my family members, and I didn't want to take it. And I was the only one that questioned it and put it in the bin. And I wish I'd just stuck by my guns, but we already forked out money to go to South Africa. And you know, we're like, but it's a price I've now paid for it.
That must be quite difficult for your family after what you've been
through.
Yeah,
but at least, like I said to you in the live, like, at least I've got that strong support. If you don't have that strong support, then I don't think I would be here, to be honest with you, Dan. So for me, I find myself very lucky that I've got a strong family support. And I don't have as many friends now, I don't think, to be honest with you, which is weird.
Yeah.
But you know, I've got some good friends.
Did you find the same thing that happened to a lot of people? I never took the vaccine, so I haven't gone down that route. But I questioned the narrative to such an extent that you end up losing a lot of friends.
I think,
but making new ones.
I think now I've got a lot of friends that are a bit too scared to associate with me now, because I have been so loud in regards to this matter. So. You know, I had a wedding list the length of that, you know, if I was getting married, but it's went down to like that now. It's which is really a shame. All for speaking out in regards to what's happened to me. Like I said, I'd done that event in Glasgow, and you would think your friends, I had one friend show up, and don't get me wrong, there's another one who couldn't make it, but you would think a lot of your friends would be in full support for what I'm trying to do. But
I mean, it just goes to show the power the TV has over the minds of the masses.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. But I mean, just to go back to the story, so I took the third Pfizer booster on the 19th of November, I believe. I always need to double check that date, but I was round about November time anyway. And I've actually got a selfie of me because after I got it, I went and got myself a PlayStation 5, like a big child, and I took a selfie with this PlayStation 5. That was like my reward for getting it. Fuck me. That was... Right.
I hope you really enjoyed that PlayStation 5.
Well, it came in handy when I was bedridden for, yeah, for 14 months, 13 months. So the next day, after I took the Jag, I just felt fatigued and life just started to go downhill from there. Didn't realise it was down to the Jag, you know, then I was in and out of hospital. Now, if I was to read out my symptoms, like I say, I could go into proper depth, but we'd be here for, I mean, just tell Adam's story and my story alone, we'd be here for 4 hours easily.
It's so complex. I mean, like I say, I worked in the medical, and if somebody had come to me with how it's affecting me and all the symptoms I got, I wouldn't have believed them that it was possible.
So, like, the symptoms that I experienced was, so I had nausea, I was nauseous, and I was vomiting every day for 6 weeks. 6 weeks, and I lost about 20...
So you're vomiting every day for 6 weeks?
6 weeks, and I was in and out of hospital, and I was getting Sinatkin tests and stuff, so I was getting stomach... I was getting tests on my stomach, I was giving stool samples, I was vomiting that much, there was speckles of blood in it, it was horrendous...
I mean, you're looking a bit more healthy now, but I mean, on that clip that we showed where you were confronting Sunak, you were very thin in that.
Yeah, very pale. I'm still, the sun's been out just now. Yeah. But nausea for about 6 weeks, I lost 25 kilograms in weight rapidly. I'd never ever been that thin, and I knew my body. I was very fit and active before, you know, I was a boxer, I went to the gym, I was a joiner, I was doing like 15,000 steps a day just in my work alone. And, then I went from that to this guy that couldn't even get up to go to the toilet. You know, it just got ridiculous. But I was losing weight at a rapid, just the worst time in my life, to be honest with you. I had acid reflux, stomach pains, diarrhea, fatigue. Like I say, loss of weight, dizziness and vertigo, which I've still got. Faintness, dry mouth. You'll see me constantly drinking water. POTS, which is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, which is basically, when I sit down, my heart rate would be normal. Then I would stand up, my heart rate would just go through the roof, along with a high blood pressure. So a lot of people are walking around with high blood pressure right now and saying to themselves, why have I got high blood pressure?
So actually, let me just ask you on that, because we had the phenomenon where a lot of young men started collapsing, a lot of sports players have been collapsing and stuff like that. So, I mean, the obvious thing you wonder is maybe an awful lot of people have got a heart problem, but it's only the young men who are pushing themselves hard enough to actually to hit a barrier.
If I was to give a quick example to why I think that might be happening, so I've only touched on a few symptoms there's still plenty more to go through. So at one point, so basically I was diagnosed with myocarditis, which is inflammation around the heart. And you can tell me if I'm wrong here, Adam, if it makes sense, because you're in the professional game. So with the POTS, what the POTS does, it makes the heart want to go really, really fast. With the myocarditis, it actually wants to protect the heart and restrict the heart from these kind of things. So what happened with me, and I can remember it like it was yesterday, I stood up and my heart rate was obviously going crazy, and I'd never felt this pain like anything in my life. So my heart's going crazy, the inflammation and that, and it felt like someone had grabbed my heart and twisted it 3 times, and I just dropped to the floor. And I was just like, what was that? Again, in and out of hospital, with so many other symptoms. Like I say, I can continue with the symptoms, but for me, you'll know yourself, being in the sports game, myocarditis and athletes, it's not a good mix.
Oh, I can imagine.
You know, so...
finish the symptoms.
Yeah, finish this as quick as possible. So the POTS, the high blood pressure. So again, a lot of people are walking around because the spike protein, I believe, affects the endothelium lining, which is the inner lining of the arteries, is that correct?
It gets everywhere. It gets everywhere in the body, but particularly got an affinity for the ACE2 receptors, which are basically on the blood cell
wall. Basically, they've done a study which showed that they were dead rigid, like jelly, from my understanding, for the spike protein. Slurring the words, I couldn't get my words out. I had brain fog, which I still have. Brain zaps, I feel like I had electrical shocks in my brain. I had seizures like Adam. I had like 3 or 4 major seizures. I remember one time I was having a conscious seizure, so I was like still awake. And my mum phoned me an ambulance, and the ambulance came out. And they turned around to me and they said, I was like, it's that vaccine, it's the vaccine. Because at this point I knew it was a vaccine. And they came out to my house, and it turned into an argument with them. And they said, oh, it's quite cold in here. and they were trying to say that I was cold, and that's why I was, they would say I was shaking. I had jolts, so I'd butt jolting. I had head pressure, chest pain, blackout, so I blacked out, passed out, breathlessness, struggle to breathe, tinnitus, low concentration, heart palpitation, sensitive to light, which I've still got, cold feet, bad circulations, pins and needles, fatigue, extreme weakness, couldn't tolerate any tablets the doctors were giving me, anything at all or any food. Dysautonomia, is that correct?
Dysautonomia, which is what we all still have.
Yeah.
Dysfunction of the autonomic nervous system.
So what is it?
So obviously you've got your sympathetic nervous system and parasympathetic nervous system. So one, in layman's terms, would be like your rest and digest, so when you're nice and relaxed. And then you've also got your fight or flight system. And within that fight or flight system, it's like your autonomic nervous system. Yeah. So it's governing things like your digestion, your temperature regulation, you're going to the toilet, those kinds of things.
So all of that is still messed up for you guys?
So basically,
that should be automatic, and it's messed up, right? You'll notice me sometimes, I go to the toilet some days 20 or 30 times a day, I have to wear a bag and things like that. It's horrendous.
So the dysautonomia, Adam's talking, so basically it's the vagus nerve, it's your nervous system, it's just totally shot out of whack. The body wouldn't regulate body temperature, so room temperature, so it was either too hot or too cold, there was just no in between. So I'd be sweating massively, I'd be really smelly in the mornings, which I understand is a detox, the body trying to detox. MCAS, which is a thing called mast cell activation syndrome, which means I've got gut issues, so I can't eat certain foods. So if I eat like a standard bit of spicy food now, it'll ruin my stomach, I'll have all these kind of issues. So I've got a food intolerance now where I need to eat certain foods. It's calmed down a bit, but it's still there. Bod pulling in the feet, which is part of the POTS, which is when I stand up with the high blood pressure and the high heart rate, all the blood would go to the feet. So, and it'll be like really red raw.
So the POTS is to do with the autonomic nervous system. Yeah. So in your blood vessels, if you like, your veins and your arteries, there's like a sensory nerve ending. So like, for example, like when you're standing up walking to maintain your blood pressure incorrect, like your blood vessels should contract so the blood's not pooling at the bottom and the blood's getting returned to the heart, the deoxygenated blood.
See.
So it should be closely regulated when with POTS.
So there's a whole selection of automated functions that the body does that we don't even think about until they get turned off.
Yeah. And that's what's one of the mechanisms behind POTS. So it's like a neurological damage.
Yeah. Right. So, and then the last one, which I had to spend a fortune to get the diagnosis, which was myocarditis, which shows inflammation around the heart. So that's just to touch on symptoms. I've not even went, my story, I could write a body book at the amount of gaslighting, the level of corruption I've found out, confronting Sunak.
So both you guys got gaslit by the medical professional when you first engaged with them?
Yeah.
And that was when the propaganda was all-encompassing. I mean, it was completely mental. But what has happened since when you engage medical professionals now?
Well, the medical professionals now know that basically I'm the founding member of this, one of the founding members of the Scottish Vaccine Injury Group, so they all know who I am. So as soon as I turn around and they say, if any of them say, regarding the JAG, the vaccine, how do you know? And I'll say, trust me. And then I just hand them a flyer and I say, see that group? I says, I'm one of the founding members of that group. And I says, and that group is growing by the day. One of the cardiologists sat me down, this was maybe about 6 months ago maybe, and I sat down with him, and he went through an MRI scan. Now, the MRI scans that the NHS are giving out, it's not the right frequency, Adam can tell you more about that, but they're not doing the right checks in these MRI scans. So I sit in the waiting room and there's a guy across from me, quite young as well, and I says, what are you here for, mate? Oh, I've got heart issues. All right. He says, what happened? Oh, they think I had a heart attack. I says, they think you had a heart attack? I says, so what's happened? He says, I don't know. Don't know what's going on. So he goes in, then I go in after him, and I sit down and I'm like to the doctor, start talking away. And I said, he says, oh, your heart scans look fine. I says, trust me, they're not fine. I says, I'm telling you. Well, and I says, I'm going to stop you right there before you go any further. I says, you're getting a big increase in young people coming through with heart issues and all that. I said, would you agree with that? Nod, he said. I says, you're also getting a massive increase in people with POTS, you know, the postural orthostatic tachycardia. I say it all the time because it took me ages to learn it.
I'm not going to attempt it.
That's
it,
probably one of the most common things from this vaccine.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, 100% of the increase. So a doctor...
So this is the heart misfiring and just...
So this is the blood circulation. This is it ties in with dysautonomia.
So the nervous system is the nervous system controlling the dilation and contraction of the blood vessels.
Okay.
And potentially that it could be in the brain as well.
Okay. So to touch on that, so I spoke to a cardiologist and he agreed with me. So I asked him, I said, POTS, how many POTS patients would you see a year? And they say we'd see up to one POTS patient every year to 2 years, right?
Before the rollout.
Before the rollout, right? So it would usually be in after complications after pregnancy. So women with epidurals.
Yeah.
Some can get it from, I think, viral infections, and some after complications after vaccines. So I said to him, I says, now I know that you guys are seeing up to 10 POTS patients a week. Some of them are even seeing up to 3 or 4 a day. Now I went and said the same thing to my GP. And she turned around and I said the exact same thing. And she said, John, she went, in my whole 27 years of being a GP, she says, I've only seen one POTS patient, right? And she says, you're my second POTS patient I've seen today. So in 27 years of having all these one POTS patient, and she's seen two in the exact same day.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.